Morning. It's good to be here with you. God's grace and his mercy and his peace be with you. Amen. As we ask for God's grace and mercy to be with us, as we look for God's blessing, that's what this whole theme is about in our worship today. And what if God's blessing comes through raindrops and tears and sleepless nights? What if God's blessing is not what we think it is? Our text is the Beatitudes, the very opening of the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. It's probably the most significant single saying of Jesus, this sermon that seems to wander all over and yet summarizes everything that Jesus would teach to us. And it begins with these words: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I don't usually do this. But I went online and I listened to some other people's sermons. I find it depressing. That's why first of all, it takes too long. It's much faster for me to read stuff than to listen through stuff. And it's depressing, first of all, because some of them are so bad. And it's also depressing because some of them are so good. And I wish I had preached that, but I feel I'm not going to copy what somebody else said, but oh, that was perfect. So you go back and forth. But the funny thing is, everybody who talks about this wants to say the same thing to you. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed, but how? What does that mean? And for some people, plainly, it means God wants you to be happy and have cool things. And if you give me 50 bucks in the name of the Lord, God will give you $500. Probably, maybe. I mean, eventually, in his time. Yeah. Is that the blessing? Is it that God wants you to be blessed? And so Bruce, if you pray this prayer that I will give to you every day, then you'll get what you're praying for. If you really believe enough, then you will have God's blessing. If you work hard enough, if you do these things, if you complete this list, if you are this kind of person, I'll tell you, sometimes when we look at this, at these Beatitudes, it's possible to think that. Robert Schuller is famous for his book, this is a long time ago now, but The Be Happy Attitudes. And the subtitle is 8 Positive Attitudes That Can Transform Your Life. And he actually has some good stuff in there. He makes some good points. But did you notice right away the one thing right in the title that should make you pause and go, wait a minute, that's not right. How many Beatitudes are there? There's 9. Why did Pastor Schuller say 8 attitudes that would transform your life? Well, it's because none of us are very happy with number 9, which is blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and do all kinds of awful things to you for my sake. What in the world does a blessing mean then? If this is a blessing, what are blessings? Is it just being happy? Is a blessing from God just something that makes us happy? Or is there something more than this? The Sermon on the Mount, as you go through this, you could spend the rest of your life in these 3 chapters of God's Word and go deeper and deeper. There's a lot there. But the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes, are the front door of that sermon. And Jesus wants to invite you in to understand what he has to give to you. I want to make four quick grammatical points about these verses before we look at just the meaning of blessing. Because I don't want you to miss these things. First of all, the simple and obvious one is the same in Greek as it is in English. Only for the Greek reader, it's more evident to them that the word that's front-loaded is the word that is most important or that's most emphasized. That it's there at the front for a reason. And Jesus' outline here is real simple. It's easy to remember. It goes, blessed, 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 blessed. So the people don't miss the point. This is what this is about. It is about God's gift, his desire to bless. Secondly, in English, we say blessed are those or blessed are these. But in Greek, it's actually a sort of a doubled form. It's an unnecessary extra word in there. So that Jesus is saying, blessed are these ones, these people here. Blessed are those right there. He's emphasizing this blessing for these people. Then, you look at the verbs here. You might think of this as eight blessings plus one. The first eight, they start with the verb is, those who are blessed, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And the last one, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And for all the others, it shall be. It's something that they see ahead of them. And also, all these are in the passive voice so that nobody in here is doing anything. All these people in this list, the blessed are they. Someone is blessing and it's not them. They are being blessed. And also, those who mourn, they shall be comforted. They shall be satisfied. They shall receive mercy. They shall be called sons of God. Who is blessing? Who is showing mercy? Who is calling them his own children? God is the one who blesses here. And we are not striving and laboring in these beatitudes. And finally, eight blessings are to those who, to these who do this, to them that are this way. But now the last one, then the hardest one, the subject changes. He says, blessed are you, plural, blessed are you all. It's as if Jesus begins describing these people and pushing further into them, listing the people who mourn, the people who strive, the people who are hungry, the people who are poor in spirit. But he says, blessed are all of you. And he draws us into this Sermon on the Mount. Through the front door of this sermon, he draws us in. All of you, as you follow me, this will be your experience. If you follow Jesus Christ, and he says this repeatedly elsewhere, this will be your experience. You will be blessed in the midst of revilings, rejection, trouble, and loss. But you will have the kingdom of God. Our blessings, things that make us happy, health and wealth and long life. No. As Jesus describes it, blessing and burden go together. Blessing and burden are a matched set. They belong together. When you had children, is that a great blessing? Whoa, We throw parties. We celebrate. We hand out cigars or whatever. When we have children, that's awesome. Is it easy to have kids? Even just giving birth. It's a life-threatening experience. Raising children, raising teenagers. Just think, the day is coming. From the time that they're born, they disrupt your sleep, they take all your stuff, they break things in the house, they make a mess of what was so perfect and clean. Children are a blessing, but with every blessing you can think of, there comes responsibility and burden. My first car, and all the time I spent working on it and putting money into it. You got a boat, and which is, as they say, a hole in the water you pour money into. And yet it's such a blessing for you and your family. You have a house. What a wonderful thing. You have a home where you're safe and dry, where you have to fix this and fix that and fix the other thing, and the furnace went out and the plumbing is backing up. But it's a blessing. And then some of you have a second home. More leaves to rake. But every blessing is matched with responsibility and burden. All the blessings that Jesus describes come in the same way. We are blessed to be like Jesus. Who is this ultimately in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit, the spiritually impoverished. Jesus opens the door to everybody who doesn't have the Spirit, to all of those who need God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. And to those who are in need, he says, look, the kingdom of heaven, it's right here. It's yours. It's for you. But who is, of all the people in the world, who is truly without the presence of God? We talk about this God forsaken this or God forsaken that. That nothing is God forsaken because God is every place, right? But who is there who is ever completely without God? Only the person who said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. And we cry over a lot of things. We literally cry over spilled milk. One of my favorite Facebook memes is the why my toddler is crying. All the stuff that little children cry about, what all the stuff that adults cry about that are just as silly when we really look at them. What did Jesus weep about? Jesus saw the people at Lazarus' funeral. And Jesus didn't weep because Lazarus had died and now he was never gonna get to see his children grow up or nothing like that. Jesus looked at people who were grieving because they had no hope. And he wept for them because they had no hope. And Jesus looked at the fields that were white to harvest. He comes to Jerusalem, to the city of Jerusalem, and he sees these people who are, their salvation comes to them and they will reject it and not recognize it when it's there. Jesus weeps about eternal things. Who mourns more than Jesus? Blessed are those, the meek. We like it if other people are meek. Yes. Just do what I tell you. But we don't celebrate meekness as a good thing for ourselves because that means we're not getting our way, doesn't it? But Jesus says, just a few chapters later, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. The exact same phrase that he uses in the Beatitude. I'm the one who who gives up what I'm entitled to give to you, because I put you before myself. Who's the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness? I get irritated when things aren't the way they are supposed to be. That's that INTJ thing, if you're into the, you know, the psychology. That, oh, you gotta fix it. It always has to be right. It drove my kids nuts. The comma should be in the right place. And I'm for the Oxford comma. And I'll prove it to you. But what does righteousness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, look like? It's not being irritated when things are wrong. Jesus is the one who overthrows the tables of the money changers in the temple, the scammers and the abusers. And he drives people out with a whip because it is such a disgrace that they take the worship of God and they distort it and use it to abuse people. Jesus desires things to be right more than you do. You look at the things that are wrong in the world and you shake your heads over them. Jesus looks at the things that are wrong in the world and he dies for them. The one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness is Jesus. Who's the merciful? You'll put some money in the plate. Maybe you'll stop and slip a $5 to the homeless guy. Jesus would live with them. Jesus would take them in. Jesus would touch the leper. Jesus would accept the criminal and the outcast. Who is the merciful? Who are the peacemakers? More than the one who is called the Prince of Peace, the one that angels sang, peace on earth, goodwill to men, when he was born. That he comes to make peace between us and God. Who are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake? There are Christians persecuted all over the world. And sometimes we feel very persecuted. That person didn't smile at me. You know why Jesus was persecuted? You think about, what did Jesus do? He asked one time, which one of my works are you persecuting me for? You know, healing this person, blessing that person. None of those things. Only one thing was Jesus persecuted for. Jesus was persecuted for telling the truth. Because he spoke the truth. For the sake of righteousness, Jesus was persecuted. This is who all these blessings describe. And Jesus says, he describes it of them, but he says, this is you, all of you, if you are in me. When you are in Christ, you are blessed. Not because you have more houses than other people. Not because you have less illnesses than other people. Not because your life goes along without any problems, unlike other people. When you are in Christ, he makes you the pure in heart as he washes you. He causes you to hunger and thirst for righteousness as you day by day learn and grow in his word. He causes you to be merciful as he pours out his mercy on you and it overflows from you to others. As you are in Christ, you share also all the hardship, all the loss, all the grieving. Even, he says, the persecution of Christ. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. You're not the first. Your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But he says, your blessing is not pie in the sky by and by. It's not someday you will have this. Not only shall you be comforted or shall you inherit the earth, not only shall you receive mercy, but the kingdom of heaven is yours. God's kingdom, his mercy, his grace belong to you so that he comforts you. He rules the earth for you. He satisfies your longing. He gives to you mercy and grace. He allows you to see him as no one else can see him. And he calls you his child, his heir. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Amen.